Blog Talk Radio.
It's time for another fun and fur-filled hour of Fervently Speaking, hosted by pet lifestyle and industry expert, top dog Eileen Proctor. Nationally renowned as America's Canine Connections Coach, the top dog has a knack of sniffing out and sharing information about products, services, activities, and news that improve the quality of life for pets and the people who love them, all in an inimitably entertaining style. Whether it's dogs, cats, critters, you name it, the top dog has really got her paws on the pulse of America's pet-loving society. It's time to sit, stay, and pick up your ears for Fervently Speaking, and your host, top dog, Eileen Proctor.
And hello, welcome to another fun and fur-filled edition of Fervently Speaking here on Blog Talk Radio, the Boomer and the Babe Station. And we are at the beginning of March. We are having lots of great weather where I live in Phoenix, Arizona, where we're broadcasting from. And I hope that the same is true for you. I know guests that we've had over the past few weeks from north of the border from Canada have said it's been unseasonably mild. And I do hope that that's the case for you as well, or if it's snowing, that you're enjoying the cold weather that I left 18 years ago when I migrated from the East Coast. So I am the top dog, Eileen Proctor, America's Canine Connections Coach and the voice of Pet Rescue, always looking for an opportunity to cry out my rally cry, adoption is the best option. And today we are going to be tackling a topic that should be very interesting and revealing for you. I was looking at my calendar. I know that most of you just have a calendar that says, you know, the major holidays like New Year's Day and President's Day and Easter and all that. But my calendar is chock full of pet-oriented holidays and celebrations. Like I think I've mentioned in the past that February is Pet Dental Health Month. And on March 3rd, there was actually a holiday that somebody made up called What If Pets Had Opposable Thumbs Day? That was on March 3rd, and I did put together a video that you can find on my YouTube channel, which is youtube.com/EPTheTD. That's Eileen Proctor, the top dog, about what if our pets had opposable thumbs. So in looking at all of my pet-related holidays and celebrations, I noticed that last week was National Professional Pet Sitters Week. It's usually the first full week of March, and we didn't have a show that week, so I decided it's very important to commemorate that celebration by having with us a bona fide expert in the field of pet sitting to help uncover the top 10 must-ask questions that you should pose before hiring a pet sitter. So here to make sure, straight from the doggy's mouth, here to make sure that we get those must-ask questions is Susan Luffy, the owner and operator of Pampered Pets and Plants. Now, that's a pet sitting company that provides pet sitting services to the greater Phoenix area and has been for the past 28 years. Pampered Pets and Plants is recognized for having experienced and caring pet sitters throughout the Valley of the Sun who provide truly quality service to customers and their pets, and I should know because they do it for mine. Now, Susan Luffy, in addition to being the owner and operator of Pampered Pets and Plants, is actively involved with pet rescue and adoptions. Yay for her! And her ultimate goal is to serve her passion, the animals, and, of course, the people who care for those animals and love them. So let us give a big welcome, put your paws together, for Susan Luffy. Hi, Susan. How are you?
Hi, Eileen. I'm wonderful. How are you today?
I'm doing awesome. I am thrilled that you are on the show. One, because I've known you so long, and I do know that you know what you're talking about. This is a very, I'm going to have to say, unregulated in some ways industry pet sitting. There are fabulous pet sitters out there, And then there's, you know, Bobby, the neighbor next door, who'll stick their head in every once in a while to check on your pet if you're not able to. And we're going to be talking about when that may or may not be appropriate and sharing the top 10 must-ask questions before hiring a pet sitter. Does that sound good to you?
That sounds great, yes.
Good. So let's get a little background on you. I mentioned that Pampered Pets Implants has been around for 28 years. You don't look old enough to have owned the company that long. Tell us a little bit about your background and when you got involved with the company.
Well, I'll tell you, I worked for this particular company for 12 years myself, the original owner and founder of my company, Pampered Pets and Plants, was owned by a lady named Jan Kemp, wonderful person, and I was a pet sitter for her. Years went on, we became friends, and then she decided to retire and asked me if I wanted to buy her business, and I said, most definitely, absolutely. So I bought it from her, and I have just had a ball with working and running the company on a day-to-day basis and growing the company and meeting our wonderful clients and our pet and their pets.
Cool. How long ago did you buy into the company, Susan?
5 years ago.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Has it been that long? I remember when you first took over the company, but I didn't realize it was that long ago.
Yeah. I know time flies.
When you're having fun and playing with doggies, huh? And
that's
kitties.
Right.
Okay. Yeah. And that's one thing I want to get across is that when we talk about pet sitting, and just because I'm the top dog, doesn't mean that we're always talking about the canines in our lives. There are so many species out there, and that's one of the questions I know we're going to have to ask. So before we get started on those questions, tell us a little bit about the menagerie that shares your life.
Oh, I'm wonderfully blessed. I have 7 dogs. I'm a failed foster or failed person to take in dogs, and then I end up loving them, and they, of course, win my heart, and I adopt them. So I have 7 dogs and also a parrot, and then I have 3 foster dogs right now who I take to adoption events on the weekends and so forth and try to get them good, loving homes for the rest of their lives. And also have a couple of box turtles.
Oh, box turtles. Okay. When you mentioned turtles to me, I remember the turtles that I had when I was quite young, all those many years ago, that those itty-bitty guys that were maybe 2 inches tall that were green one day and found under the bed the next. Is that what a box turtle's all about, or are they bigger than that?
That's exactly it. And mine actually just came out of hibernation not long ago, so he's out and scouting around his area and eating tons, and he looks great.
Well, maybe the ones that were brown and under my bed were just hibernating. I'm really not into my reptiles so that much, so that thing might still be in Canarsie, Brooklyn. I hope the person who bought our house is listening and can go check to see if he's out of hibernation. I will feel so much better and stop having nightmares if that's the case.
There you go.
Well, I think that, you know, calling yourself a foster failure really means that the dogs that you brought in were a success because they wrapped you around their paws and gave you their hearts. And I know that you happen to have a propensity for chihuahuas. Are all 7 of your dogs chihuahuas?
No, they're not. They're actually 2 of them are chihuahuas, and then the rest of them are all varied other breeds. And I have males and females, and everybody gets along, and they have tons of toys, and it's a nice scene to come home to.
Yeah, I'm sure that they give you good references as a pet sitter. So let's get jumping into these questions.
Yeah, what more could you want?
What more could you want? My mom, it's like when I owned the doggy daycares, you know, my dogs would always say, oh, you know, like, have a nice day at work, Mom, and they didn't care. The dogs I had at the time didn't care about going to daycare. They wished I was a pet sitter at the time and stayed home with them rather than going out every day. Now I'm home, and I work out of a home office a lot, and my pets look at me and say, when can I go to doggy daycare? You know, you can't win.
That's right. Kids are always asking for something, yeah.
Right, exactly, and we love to give it to them. So The reason I wanted to bring up this topic is because there are so many people out there that ask me on a regular basis if I can recommend a pet sitter. And, of course, if I'm in the Phoenix area, I know that I have two or three different organizations, including yours, that I do offer the recommendations for. But if I'm outside of their particular area of where they live, I can't do that. So I want to shed the information that I want to share the information that I normally would recommend to some of those people so they can go out and look for pet sitters. So the first question that I believe that I usually have to ask is, do you provide service to my area? So let's talk about that. Do you think that it's important that a pet sitter lives within a certain distance from the home that they are going to be visiting?
I do. I think that that is important because you have to remember that she or he, the pet sitter, may be doing several customers, and you want to be sure that it's feasible for her to be driving, you know, back and forth and being able to get to the homes and take care of the pets on a timely basis.
Right. And I know in your particular case, because how many sitters do you have working with Pampered Pets and Plants, Susan?
I have 80 employees, so there are 80 pet sitters that I can pull from.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
So, we're very large. We're a very large company, and I provide service to the entire Phoenix and greater Phoenix area. So whenever a customer calls in for service, I'm sure to have a pet sitter in their area who can provide service to them.
Right. And that's fantastic that you're kind of the dispatcher, if you will, and you get to ask the preliminary questions that we're going to be going through today to the pet owner to make sure that you're doing the best possible service. But if, in fact, there are independents out there, of which there are thousands, you know, you want to make sure that one of the questions that you ask is, how far away are you from my home, and how many other jobs will you be juggling at any given time to make sure that my pet gets taken care of on time and thoroughly? Agreed?
I agree, absolutely.
Is there anything else you want to add about that?
No, I think that's it. You know, finding out how soon they can get to your house and are they going to be able to make it. You know, time commitment is important when you're talking about someone's pets. And
right.
Especially if they need medication or something like that where they really, the pet sitter really does need to be there at a specific time. You know, that's something that a customer can openly ask that of the sitter, just to be sure. You know, you'd rather find out this information beforehand than after the fact.
Right. And now that I'm thinking about it, a lot of that has to do with the type of service that you are asking for, because there's a difference between a pet sitter who comes on a regular basis for midday walks or play sessions or stays overnight or is only doing it for 3 days while somebody's out of town. So I guess that would be the next question is, what scope of services do you provide as a pet sitter, and are you taking on more clients to do that? We don't want to make any assumptions.
That's a very good point. You know, my particular pet sitting company, I offer and advertise daily visits to the customer's home or overnight in their home. Many customers will say, well, I'm gone all day, 10 or 12 hours at work, so I really just want someone to stay in my home and mimic the routine that they are normally used to. And
mm-hmm.
then a third option would be to do a live-in, and that's where the sitter would actually come and just stay in the home and be there night and day with, you know, a little allowed away time, but nonetheless she's there. And that might be for customers who really just want that one-on-one constant contact for their pets.
Right, like my kids.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, we chain the pets that are in the house, and they're not allowed to leave or do anything. It's we definitely have them under control. My dogs laugh. Ha ha! Now you're on the chain. Yes. So you want to make sure when you're speaking to your pet sitter that you're being clear about the type of service and the duration of the service that your pet needs. And that can be your individual circumstances or the age of the pet or the physical circumstances of the pet, right?
That's true. Very true. That's so, exactly right. You know, maybe they need medication a few times a day, or it's just having that extra peace of mind that you know the pet sitter is there for your pet at his or her beck and call, you know.
So let me ask you that question, since you mentioned medical care, and I know that it is on the list of must-ask questions. What if my pet needs medical care? What should a pet sitter be expected to answer in a case like that? What kind of medical care should we expect a pet sitter to provide?
Well, remember now, you're leaving your pet in the care of this pet sitter. So you want to ensure that your pet sitter is comfortable with emergency situations and asking your sitter, you know, if my pet fell ill, what would you do? You know, the first the answer that you should hear is, well, I would call you right away. I would contact the vet clinic and then take, you know, speak with the vet, and if the vet determines that the pet should go to the vet, then the sitter should transport, and keeping the customer and the owner of the pet apprised the entire time. So I think what the customer could do is to look ahead and go to the vet and make sure that the emergency clinic in their area or the regular veterinarian that they use is given a credit card to hold on file, and also gives the pet sitter permission, stating the pet sitter's name, the permission to bring the pet in to be treated.
Oh, that's an excellent point. Yeah, and I'm assuming that a professional pet sitter, rather than neighbor Bobby across, you know, across the way, will actually have some kind of a form or know that that's important to do without you even asking. But you do want to hear that they know those things.
Absolutely. And many of our customers will go ahead and type up just a brief letter and say, you know, Sally Smith from such and such company has my permission to treat my pets in the event of an emergency or their illness, and they go ahead and sign that. They also give that to their vet clinic, and that way everyone is on the same page, and, you know, time is of the essence when you need to get a pet in to see the vet. So you don't want to waste time with, well, gosh, can she bring him in, and is it going to be paid for, that sort of thing.
Right, exactly. Yeah, I guess that adds a question to my list, so I'm going to stop with the top 10 must-ask questions. We're just going to go through questions. Is that okay, Susan? Because
I've got
an hour and lots of questions, but I would assume that one of the questions is, do you have reliable transportation? If you have a pet sitter who's being dropped off for an overnight or a 24-hour live-in situation, and they're just being dropped off and don't have transportation, that can really create an issue if, in fact, the pet does need to be transported to the veterinarian.
It absolutely does, and that brings up a good point. You know, when hiring pet sitters, owners of pet sitting companies need to be very careful and think about the larger picture in that example that you just cited, and make sure that the pet sitter does have reliable transportation and that the pet sitter will have their car with them the entire time. Because let's face it, you never know when something urgent could come up with the pet and you got to get that pet right away to the vet, so you can't wait for someone to come pick you up. So
Right.
Part of my criteria when hiring is to be sure that, of course, they do have reliable transportation at all times.
Gotcha. And I know that some pet sitters are people that are also what I'll call from the profession, the veterinary profession. So they're doing it either on their time off or just as an adjunct to their careers, because I love animals so much and it makes sense. I would think that if you have a pet that has a medical condition, and there are many different types of them, there are some that are acute and there are some that you know, are just, you know, temporary, you know, will you give my pet its medications? And in that case, you need to distinguish, is it oral medication, topical medication, or injectable medication, because not everybody is qualified to do all of those.
That's exactly right, yes. And we get requests all the time for oral medication or medication that goes in their ear. It's the transdermal cream. Insulin injections, very important, and you need to have a sitter who is capable and has experience in doing so. Or sometimes sub-Q fluids, you know, for pets that are in kidney failure, but yet they still have a long life ahead of them. And so we just pick up and take over where the customer, when the customer's out of town, we want to be sure that we follow to the T what the instructions are.
Right.
So medications is a big part of it.
Yep, absolutely. That would bring me to a question that I would want to ask, which is, you know, is that additional to give medication, or put more succinctly, what do your rates include? And what you know, and not everybody offers the same things. So just be aware. So I'm not saying that they have to offer everything, but, you know, what do your rates include? So why don't you give us an example of what a pet sitter might be expected to do, or what do your pet sitters do that our listeners can get an idea of things they might expect from their pet sitter?
Okay. Well, I think the pet sitter, determining how long the pet sitter will be there, say if you're coming for a visit, you're just doing potty breaks or visits, how long will the sitter spend with your pets? And what is included with that? Will the sitter walk the dog for an extra charge, or is that included in the rate? Do they do potty pickup in the backyard for the dog? My sitters will do that, you know, especially if the customer needs to show them where their potty pickup supplies are, and then the pet sitter will clean up after the dog. Certainly that's not the most glamorous part, but it's necessary, you know. You want to keep the yard picked up and nice and neat for the dog to be out there. So,
but Susan, you're starting to fade a little bit on your transmission, so I'm not quite sure what might be going on, but or you have a frog in your throat. Do you pet sit frogs? Are you pet sitting a frog that jumped in your throat?
No, the frog left yesterday. I don't have a frog.
I'm sorry about that. Yeah, it just sounds like you're starting to fade in and out there. So you were talking about potty patrol pickup, which is always nice that when you get home, you don't have to do it yourself. What about things like, I don't know, mail pickup or watering plants or things like that?
Yeah, we also do that. You know, we bring in mail and door knockers, newspapers that are left on your driveway. We want to give the lived-in look for our customers, and I think customers want that too. So
right.
We certainly pick up all that and bring it on into the home when we're coming to visit, you know, Fido or Fluffy.
Right, right. Yeah, we're still having a problem with some of the reception on your phone, Susan. So we are talking with Susan Luffy, the owner and operator of Pampered Pets and Plants. It's a pet sitting company that has 28 years of experience and 80 different pet sitters in the greater Phoenix area. But the tips that we are hearing from Susan are far-reaching for anybody looking for a pet sitter. What is the most unusual thing that a pet owner has asked you to do as a pet sitter, either for the pet or in the home? And please don't use any names.
Okay. I think someone had requested that the pet sitter play classical music in order to draw out the kitty cats from their hiding spaces so that the cats could be medicated.
Oh, I like that. I would like that even if I didn't need medication. I love classical music. So okay, that's good. And so you actually then had to assign a pet sitter who liked classical music and not hip-hop for the sake of the argument, right?
That's exactly right. And didn't mind taking that time and being patient with the kitties, you know.
Right,
you
got to
earn their trust.
Yep, absolutely. So let's go on to another question that we might want to ask. And in general, I need to ask this. Is licensing required to be a professional pet sitter? And what other types of sureties would you want to ask for in general?
Those are great questions. There are no professional licensing requirements for pet sitters. Anyone who wants to open up a pet sitting business can do so without any formal training, and there's no licensing tests that are required. Think about this. In order to work certain professions, such as being a hairdresser or being a counselor, there is specific coursework required and then a test that they need to pass. And then passing that test earns them a quote-unquote license to work in that profession. So pet sitters don't have to have a license to operate, although they need a business license for their company. So there's a difference with that. What is paramount, though, when searching for a pet sitter is to ask them if they have liability and bonding. Liability would cover an accident that may affect the customer's pet or their property while the pet sitter is on the job. And then a bonding ensures that a business in the event that an employee steals from a customer. So the bonding is protection for the business and then also protection for the customer, because if, say, an expensive camera or something was stolen, certainly you have to prove that the pet sitter did that. But then if so, then the bonding policy pays to have that item replaced for our customer.
And so bonding is an insurance policy. It doesn't mean that they've done anything. Is there any background checks or anything like that that are done for bonding?
Well, when hiring, yes, you do a criminal background check and a credit report. That's what I choose to do as a pet sitting owner, and I think that that's the prudent thing to do anytime you're sending, you know, someone into a customer's home to care for their home or their pets. You just, you got to do that criminal background check and a credit report. And that helps establish, of course, responsibility and integrity and helps speak to the character of the pet sitter.
Right. That makes a lot of sense. But if I'm just, you know, a woman that is looking to hire a pet sitter, do you think that I need to take those steps to have a criminal background check and a credit report, or is that just as a business owner, you would do that for your pet sitters?
As a business owner, I think, is what I'm speaking to with regard to the criminal background check and credit report. As a customer searching for a company, I think you do want to ask. You have the right, and you want to ask them, do they have liability insurance to cover, you know, the assignment, and are they bonded?
Right, and those two things make sense. And I mean, let's step it one step further, and it sounds kind of obvious, but how about the concept of references?
That's very true. You know, I think it's really important. You know, remember, you're turning over your home and your pets to this person. So I think the natural line of questioning when interviewing a sitter is to say, hey, you know, I'd like some references. And then when you're given those, call them. A lot of, you know, people have the misconception that, oh, they offered me some, therefore they must be good, and I won't even take the time to call them. And I would caution them, call those customers. They've been given to you, and utilize that as a resource. You call those references, and you ask them whatever questions you wish. You know, how were they with your pets? And ask the questions that are important to you to get that feedback, because you need that to make a, you know, determining decision on hiring or not that pet sitter.
I'm wondering, Susan, are you back on the line with us at this point?
I am, Eileen. Thank you. I'm sorry for that.
You're so not even a problem. I was giving the information that I would use as a pet owner to ask questions, and one of those things was about whether or not you will come and meet my pet beforehand so that I can see whether or not you interact well with them. Because not every pet sitter, even if they are fully experienced and the nicest of people, may be able to get your pet to smile. Have you ever had situations like that where there was just a pet sitter that you assigned that did not make a pet happy or a pet owner happy?
Yes, I've had that. And that's one reason I think it's important to offer that get acquainted visit initially. That way you know it's a good fit for all involved. If by chance, you know, the sitter goes out to the customer's home and for whatever reason it's just not a good fit, then there's time to reassign another sitter to that customer and their pet.
Mm-hmm. Yep, absolutely. I know one time, and this was not using you during this particular situation, either I didn't know you yet or there was some reason why I wasn't using you at this time, but the pet sitter did come over to check out my pet, check out my home. You know, the person needs to make sure if there's stairs or no stairs, can they operate them based on their age or any limitations that they have. But when the person came, they had a distinct smell of cigarette smoke on them, and I knew that neither I nor my pet would want that. And this is not, I am not ragging on smokers at this moment, but I needed to, once I met the sitter, it wouldn't have been something that I would have thought I needed to ask. So it became a question that I asked. When you hire pet sitters for your business, Susan, how do you screen your pet sitters, and do you go that far into whether they smoke or not?
I do. I absolutely ask that on my employment application because, you know, this is something that you got to talk about. The same, your smoking situation is a great example. There's another one, too, about a woman applied for an employment with me, a job, and she wore so much cologne, I was sneezing, and it was pretty overwhelming to me. And all I could think was, well, you know, I need to address that with this person because she's probably not thinking about that she might be offensive, the smell might be offensive to a customer or in their home or to their pet. So it's like a nurse with patient care, you know, when nurses are working around patients, you know, you have to be cautious about odors that you may exude, such as, you know, smoking or too much cologne, something like that.
What other types of screening processes do you specifically put your pet sitters through that we could have our listeners hear and maybe they could ask some similar questions?
Yeah, that's great. I ask them, you know, how long they have lived in the valley. I ask them, have they had specific training with a pet? Do they know how to give injections, sub-Q fluids? Do they know, have they worked with certain species of pets? Because they're not all dog and cat, you know. Can they walk a dog? Are they able to manage a larger dog on a leash? What would they do if the dog on the leash, you know, got away from them? Are they able to, you know, run after the dog? Because, you know, that's really what it boils down to. Can they do stairs? They work an alarm system? That's another one. You know, some of our customers will have alarms. Do they have any physical limitations that would prevent them from bending over and scooping the litter box or playing with Fido in the backyard? And have they been through any dog obedience training with any of their own pets at any time? Are they fearful of any animals, any certain kind of breed? Because, you know, far be it for me to put them in a situation and with a pet that they're not comfortable with. So these are questions that I ask because I need to have a good handle on the capability and ability and skill of pet sitters that I send out.
Right. And I would imagine that it goes the other way as well. But as a pet sitter, and let's just say you're the pet sitter as an independent, you should be asking very similar questions of the pet owner, like, does your dog like to be walked? I mean, my dogs just use their doggy door. We hardly ever walk them, and please nobody call, you know, animal care and control on me because I don't walk my dogs. My dogs do not like to walk on a leash. They like to go in the backyard, and there's nothing wrong with that. So in my particular case, that is not a requirement. And I have a ranch. I don't have any stairs to be considered. But I would imagine that the pet sitter, you would want to find out what questions they have, and based on the caliber or depth of their questions, you would get a good feel or a not-so-good feel for if this was the appropriate person to stay with you. Yes?
Yes, absolutely. That's right. And to, you know, yeah, finding out, am I going to be walking the dog? And does the dog walk well on a leash? You know, it's nice to know those kind of things beforehand.
Right. Will my dog be wanting to go for grooming on Friday? And how does that affect my schedule and things like that? So I think one of the questions that you'd want to ask your pet sitter is, what questions do you have of me? And that can be extremely telling. And it brings up a question that I have that I want to ask you as a professional pet sitter, Susan. I mentioned before that a lot of people say, yeah, Billy next door or across the street can come in and take care of my pet. And, you know, is there ever a time when that's a good idea? Or why would you hire a professional and spend the money as opposed to asking Billy to come and take care of your pet?
That's a great question. We get that, you know, asked a lot. And I always say, you know, you have a vested interest in your pet. And just imagine a worst-case scenario in your head and imagine a best-case scenario in your head. And then you decide if you think the boy next door or girl next door can fit that bill or not. With a professional pet sitting, and I'm not knocking, you know, neighbors or kids, you know, high school or college kids who do pet sitting for their friends and neighbors. You know, there's some wonderfully, you know, talented, skilled folks that do it. But with a professional pet sitting company, you know that you're getting a professional based on all of these questions that you and I, Eileen, have been talking about, things that the customer would ask the pet sitter and vice versa, and checking the references and finding out about the company in general and or the pet sitter that will be assigned to you. You know, there's some training and skill involved that you may not get with the boy next door.
Right, right. Also, the boy next door can get distracted relatively easily. There's no legal recourse. You're not, I'm sure that Billy is very trustworthy, but he's not insured, and accidents do happen. So, but I've often found that it's just a matter of they forget or something else came up or just they don't have the presence of mind to be able to handle an emergency because either they're too young or they've just never experienced it before, just plain and simple. So if you've got a plug-and-play pet, meaning one that just kind of doesn't require, like, I shouldn't even say that. I was going to say if it's fish. Do you ever have pet sitting for fish, Susan?
We do.
Yeah. So for fish, and you think, wow, they're so easy. You don't have to worry about taking them for a walk. All you have to do is feed them a couple times. But no, I mean, depending upon what services you're providing, it could be that their tank needs to have chemicals put in or cleaned out, or they shouldn't feed. And, you know, what if your fish is pregnant? I mean, wow. I mean, pregnant fish, that's a whole other topic for Fervently Speaking, isn't it?
It is.
Maybe a catfish, but anyway, but you need to recognize that there are professionals in every area for a reason, not just as it relates to your pet. So the question is, would you have your neighbor do your taxes just because he got a refund last year? Or how about having your neighbor take out your appendix because they used to watch Grey's Anatomy every week? You know, there's something to be said for the professional nature of bringing somebody in, and it's the peace of mind for me more than anything else.
Right, right. And while you might save a buck or two, you know, initially with the next-door neighbor boy or girl, in the long term, you're not saving anything. In fact, it could prove to be very costly for you. So, you know, I say go with quality from the get-go and look at a professional pet-sitting service.
And another question that I have that I've asked, and maybe I am just an overprotective mommy, but maybe you've handled this before, Susan. I want to know how my pets are doing. I want to know how they're doing on a regular basis. And then when I come home, I want to know if everything was okay as well. So what can we ask of pet sitters to make sure that we're getting what we need as those overprotective poochie parents or, you know, or kitty mommies or horse parents or whatever it is?
Yeah, I think that that's a great, great thing to bring up. And what I do with my staff is I provide them note sheets, and then every one of my pet sitters has note sheets, and then they leave daily notes. So if they're going to do visits, they leave a little note each day. It's like a journal. So when the customer comes back home, they have all these journal entries about how Fluffy and Fido, you know, did while they were out of town. And then that tells the customer how their pet did while they are away. Customers like to know that their pet sitter noticed the specific tendencies and quirks of their pets. And the purpose of a daily note is to validate that you were there each daily assigned visit, or if you're doing an overnight or if you're doing a live-in. Some of our customers want even more than that, and then they want to be texted or emailed. A lot of my pet sitters will take pictures of the pets with their cell phone cameras, and then they send that to the customer. And that's always
nice.
a comforting thing, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Customers like that. Pet owners like that. And just think if it were us going away, you know, we would want the same in return. So email, texting, phone calls, and notes left when the customer comes home, I think are very an important aspect of providing that professional service.
Yeah, that's good. So asking a pet sitter what they will do to keep you apprised is something very important. And if they kind of look at you with a blank stare, maybe they don't really understand the relationship that you have with your pet, and it's time to look for someone else. And what I've always used is a benchmark at the end, by the way, because I do get, when I've utilized your service as well as a few other services, Susan, I get the end that says, Disney played with the ball, you know, I had to throw it 87 times. I mean, that person counted how many times I threw the ball for Disney. But and I knew that it was true that it was Disney and not, at the time, let's just say, Ariel, who couldn't have cared less about throwing the ball, but Ariel sat by my side while I watched television and just loved being scratched behind the ears. You know that the person knows your dog and didn't just show up, shove him in the backyard or take him for a walk and then say bye-bye. They know the particular dog. They got to know him. And the biggest testimony I ever could give to a pet sitter who took care of my kids was that when I came home, my dogs were happy and wagging their tails. They were healthy, and they basically looked at me like, who cares, where's my pet sitter? And you know what, in a way that hurts the ego, but in the other way it knows that I made the right decision for who was going to take care of my pet. So, you know,
and that's
think about that as a gauge. Yep,
right.
Yep. I have a question for you, just in final for how to select a pet sitter before I go on to another topic, and that is, are there any other red flags that that you should look for when looking to hire a pet sitter? Anything that stands out as a whoa, you know, step away from the person type thing?
Right. I think that's a good question, too, and I think when you're scheduled to meet with a pet sitter on such and such day and time, if they don't show up, if they're a no-show, if they don't call, did they forget? Well, then that might be an indication, not always, but it might be an indication that they'll forget to come do visits for your pet. So I think that could be a red flag. Certainly emergencies arise and things happen, but use your judgment with that. So are they late to the interview? That's another one. And then are they too chatty? You know, sometimes pet sitters are going on their interview and they end up talking way too much and listening less. So it's important, I think, that a pet sitter is able to communicate effectively, but then also, you know, stop talking and listen while the customer speaks. So you want it to be, you know, a dual partnership there when you're interviewing and not have a one-sided. Can they verify the references, you know? Do they seem comfortable with you? Do they seem comfortable with your pet? If the pet sitter is acting like a fish out of water, then maybe they are, and maybe they're not the best option for you and your pet. So I think those kind of things would be a red flag. Making eye contact, I think, is a huge one, just in interpersonal relationship skills. You know, you want your pet sitter to feel comfortable talking with you, and if they're never looking you in the eye, it gives an unsettling feeling, really. So I think making sure that you feel comfortable in all aspects before you hire.
Those are great ideas. And probably the question, and we have not touched on this, and it's probably one that all of our listeners are saying, ask the question, is
okay.
What is your fee? What do you charge for what you do? Is it a la carte? When do I pay you? You know, somebody's asking for all the money up front. Is that a problem? So let's talk about how you interact with a potential pet sitter as it relates to the fees.
Very good. Well, when I give my talk, if you will, when the customer first calls in, you know, I go ahead and talk with them about what the rates are, what that includes, and then forms of payment, methods of payment. You know, they have an option, they have options for payment, and then they select which option is going to best suit them, and then payment can be due, you know, at the end of service. Some companies ask for half up front and half at the end. Some companies ask for all of it up front. So it's really what you feel as a pet owner, what you feel most comfortable with. But understand that, you know, professional pet sitting companies do have, you know, they pay their staff, they pay for the bonding and liability insurance. I mean, they have a vested interest. If you have a company who's been in business for a long time and they're well established within the community, then maybe paying up front isn't such a sore spot with you. You know, someone that's the opposite, you know, then you might kind of flinch at having to pay up front. So consider those things.
Okay, those are good points. The topic I wanted to tackle right now is it's kind of an offshoot of what we do on Fervently Speaking, which is people whose lives have gone to the dogs, people who have had certain careers or are retired who then emerged and used their love of animals, their furry fervor, if you will, to go into a line of work that does involve working with animals. And some of our listeners today may be wondering, what if I'd like to become a pet sitter? What steps should I take? Should I open my own business? Should I try finding a company like Susan's? What really can I expect above and beyond what's been discussed over, you know, the past 50 minutes on Fervently Speaking? So what would you recommend to those people who might like to pursue a career or even a part-time option as a pet sitter?
I think I would recommend that person research pet sitting. Just like you would, you can go to Google or the library and get books. Check out that career and find out all the ins and outs of it. Another idea would be to go to a couple of websites that are nationwide, and they help with training. They help with everything from A to Z for a person to become a pet sitter. And one of those companies is called Pet Sitters International, Pet Sitters International, or PSI, as otherwise known. There's another one that's called NAPS. It's N-A-P-P, like Paul, S, and that acronym stands for National Association of Professional Pet Sitters. And both of those organizations will help you with liability insurance, bonding, will answer all the questions that you need to know, and they offer certifications for training to be a pet sitter, and you get a certificate at the end. So it really helps open up the world for them for pet sitting and tells them everything again from A to Z, and will prove to be really helpful.
Gotcha. So Pet Sitters International, or PSI, the website, if anybody's interested in checking that out, it's petsit.com, petsit.com.
Right. Are you there?
should be back.
Okay, thank you.
Are you both back?
Yes, I'm here. This is Susan.
Let me see if I can find Eileen.
Okay. I don't know why I keep getting cut off.
Susan, your number ends in 47, is that correct?
603-543-4037, uh-huh.
Okay, and I've got another one up here with an ending in 1-6, and that should be Eileen, I think, and I can't
no,
find...
that's me. I'm sorry. I'm on my cell phone now. 3516 is how I end, is my ending number.
Okay, we got you there then.
Okay.
Okay, the other one's disconnected.
Okay.
I'm going to try to raise Eileen, and if I'm going to put myself on hold, and if you stay there, and if she
okay.
gets back on, you can continue your conversation. Thank you.
Great. Thank you.
Oh, there she is. Eileen, you're
I believe I'm back. I was doing the whole show on my own there, hearing you guys having technical difficulties, so I'm not quite sure what happened. I apologize to our listening audience. I will actually try to edit that out on our replays that we have. But what I was saying was this has been an incredibly interesting and informative show. We are very lucky to have had pet sitting professional Susan Luffy of Pampered Pets and Plants on the show. You can contact her by calling 602-547-1121 or visiting the website pamperedpetsandplants.com. I believe, Susan, don't you have a lot of FAQs up on your website that can help people be able to find out about hiring the best possible pet sitter?
Yes, I do.
As I said, I do apologize for the technical difficulties. Now you know that live radio is a challenge. So everybody take a breath. Everybody take a smile, wag that tail, and know that Fervently Speaking is brought to you every second and fourth Wednesday, that is Hump Day, on the Boomer and Babe station, a blog talk radio, and you can get replays on the Facebook page for Fervently Speaking, or Top Dog Eileen Proctor. Susan Luffy, thank you so much for being a part of the show today. Despite all of the telephone communication issues, you have been a wealth of information, and I highly recommend your company as a very satisfied customer and pet professional. You have definitely earned the Top Dog paw of approval. Proud to give it to you.
Oh, great. Well, I'm honored. And thank you so much, Eileen, for having me on to speak with the listeners today. It was a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. Well, we'll look forward to maybe having you back on in the future on more specific topics. Until then, keep on fostering, keep on rescuing, and thank you for everything you do to help our furry friends, whether they have homes or not.
Thank you so much, Eileen. Take care.
Take care, too. So we have come to the end of our hour of this week's Fervently Speaking. I want to thank you for listening in. And if you have any suggestions for topics for future shows, please feel free to contact me directly at topdog@ferventlyspeaking.com. That's F-U-R, ferventlyspeaking.com. And this is the Top Dog, Eileen Proctor, America's Canine Connections Coach and the voice of Pet Rescue, reminding you to give those dogs and cats and critters of yours a big hug and a kiss. And remember the rally cry of the Top Dog, adoption is the best option. Take care now.
You've been listening to Fervently Speaking with your host, Top Dog Eileen Proctor. To find out more about today's topic or to suggest one for a future show, email topdog@ferventlyspeaking.com. That's topdog@ferventlyspeaking.com. And be sure to tune in every second and fourth Wednesday of the month for another fun and fur-filled episode right here on the Boomer and the Babe Network on Blog Talk Radio. Fervently Speaking is a production of Boomer and the Babe Incorporated. Contact them at boomerandthebabe.com.